Near-Death Experience Podcast, an ongoing exploration of spiritually transformative experiences, including NDEs and other phenomena, in order to elucidate the ineffable and better understand our spirituality. All episodes are available at ndepodcast.org. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and guests are not necessarily those of NDE Podcast, the NDERF, any sponsors, or, for that matter, anyone else. In the end, the only opinion that really matters is yours. Near-Death Experience Podcast, item number 279, March 1st, 2020, Shailene Collier's Near-Death Experience. Welcome to Near-Death Experience Podcast, the official podcast and audio source for the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation, NDERF. I'm your host, John Messer. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the podcast with your friends, relatives, and colleagues. Chaz and I deeply appreciate your emails and reviews. It means so much to us to learn about how this information touches your hearts. Today, I have a phone interview with Shailene Collier. Shailene had a near-death experience in 1996. And has had several amazing spiritually transformative experiences throughout her life. She contacted me via email about her experiences and agreed to tell you about them on the show. Before we get to Shailene's story, I want to quickly give you some information about the NDE podcast. We are available via every source of media that I can identify. We are available on iTunes and Google Podcasts. You can use a multitude of apps such as iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Podbean. If you know of any other way we can make the show available, please let us know. You can contact me directly by using john@ndepodcast.org. and Chaz directly by using chaz@ndepodcast.org. We would love it if you would follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching NDE Podcast on those sites. If you would like to help support and advance the show, you can do so by using patreon.com and searching for NDE Podcast. Or via PayPal by using neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you again for all your support. And now, the near-death experience of Shailene Collier. Shailene Collier, welcome to Near-Death Experience Podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for reaching out to me, telling me your story. Let's hear about it. You've had multiple spiritually transformative experiences. Which one would you like to talk about first?
I would probably like to talk about my near-death experience first and then kind of go backwards in time before that and talk about just my spiritually transformative experiences, like you said. Like I've had numerous. So I'll start with my near-death experience, if that's okay.
That sounds great. Tell us what year it was, how old you were, what was going on.
Okay, it was in 1996, and I was 20 years old. I was I had just barely given birth to my first child, daughter, and it was a home birth. It was a planned home birth, and so everything had gone smoothly through the delivery and everything, but I experienced a very rare complication that caused massive hemorrhaging as soon as she was born. And again, this was at home with a midwife and several attendants. And because of the severe hemorrhaging, they called an ambulance. And while they were waiting for the ambulance to arrive, I just suddenly felt completely weightless and felt no pain. I suddenly was looking at the ceiling as if I was just right directly under it, with like maybe 5 or 6 inches below the ceiling, as if I was laying on my back still. And I remember just thinking how strange it was that I could see the detailed patterns on the ceiling so close. I didn't really realize yet that I was out of my body. But I just remember feeling completely just weightless, like I said, no pain, no worries. I felt peaceful. And yet there was a lot of chaos going on below me, where I was laying on the bed, and the midwife and her attendants were kind of frantically trying to prepare me for the ambulance to come get me, and just, you know, my baby had just been born, so they were trying to take care of her too. And I didn't feel any, I kind of felt detached from everything that was going on below me. I could hear what everyone was saying, and it sounds kind of strange, but as I was looking at the ceiling, and you know, with my physical eyes, I could not see below me, and I couldn't see my body, and yet I could. Like, I was aware of completely where everyone was in the room, what they were doing. So it wasn't just that I could hear them, but somehow I was aware of what they were doing. And I didn't feel any concern about my baby, even though I had been so excited to be a mother and it was my first child. It was almost as if I was slowly starting to realize that I was not in my body and something had happened and I had died. But I didn't feel like a panic or a worry that I would not be able to be with my daughter again soon. I guess intuitively knew that I would be able to go back to my body. I didn't hear any voices. I didn't see a light or a tunnel or anything like that. I just felt complete peace and calm and happiness and joy. And it just seemed to just go on for such a long time. But then suddenly I just was back in the pain and back in my body. And everything was just, you know, I had kind of been a casual observer previous to being back in my body. And then once I was in my body, everything was just right there in front of me. And I was starting to panic and worry and stress. And I remember even crying, and it was just a frantic, scary thing. And I was in so much pain again. I had not had any pain medication, obviously, with it being a home birth. So everything just was like so painful. I was able to hold my baby for a little bit of time before the ambulance actually did get there. But then the baby was left behind at home, and I was separated from her for about 8 hours while I was at the hospital. But I think, you know, after that, everything was just kind of a blur. The ambulance ride, I don't remember much. I was probably blacking out most of the time and passed out. But yeah, that's my near-death experience.
Was your husband in the ambulance with you?
He was.
Does he recall anything unusual going on while you were in bed up near the ceiling and in the ambulance? Does he recall anything unusual?
I think they thought that I had passed out from so much blood loss. I don't think they had realized that I was actually not breathing. You know, it wasn't a hospital setting, so I wasn't hooked up to monitors or anything like that. So And I don't think they even thought to check my heart rate. I think they just thought that I had passed out, because my husband had said that, you know, that was his understanding, that I had fainted or passed out.
So you arrive at the hospital. Do you remember anything about that, being in the hospital?
I do recall being kind of pushed aside in the emergency room I was actually in the emergency room for 8 hours. The doctor on call had heard that it was a home birth and had was kind of taking a sweet time getting there. And unfortunately, my midwife was pretty upset. But I just remember being shoved over in a corner of the emergency room and was just there for hours and hours. And I was worried about my baby. I was separated from her. And I recall, I think I was just passing out a lot because it didn't seem like as long as they told me it was until later. I was like, wow, we were there for 8 hours. So, but I didn't have any other out of body experiences that day or anything like that. Just the initial one.
And your daughter was fine?
She was perfectly healthy. And my mom was back home. My parents were back home, helping watch the baby with the attendants, the midwife's attendants. And so she was well taken care of, but it was sad to be separated from her for that period of time.
And often when people have an out-of-body or a near-death experience, they don't recognize it as such for some time. When did you realize that's what had happened to you?
I had only ever known of one other person that had had a near-death experience. My mother had. But I had forgotten about, because she had told me about that when I was a bit younger. And I had at the time kind of forgotten that she'd had that. So I didn't really tell anybody for quite a long time. I don't recall how long. This was 30 years ago. I don't remember how long it was. I think eventually I told my mom and my husband, who is now my ex-husband. I'm remarried. But yeah, I didn't tell too many people. And I kind of remember just kind of passing it off as maybe something, I couldn't really explain it. I didn't really quite understand until years and years later. I started listening to near-death experiences and reading them, and I started listening to this podcast, and I remembered more and more and more, because I mostly remember just being right up there seeing the ceiling. But as I heard about other near-death experiences, memory started flooding back, and I remembered hearing and being aware of everything that was going on, and just the peaceful feeling and the weightless feeling. All of that started just flooding back, and I was like, I really wasn't, crazy, or I don't know. It just, and everything just came back more and more and more, almost just like flooding back to me. And I could remember things very, very crystal clear at that point, when everything just came back to me. So, and one of the things that had come back to me was when I was out of my body at the time, that I had realized that I had died and was out of my body. But I didn't remember thinking that or anything like that for years, until all the memories started flooding back at once.
Looking back at it, you were very calm as you were out of your body, but does that frighten you now about death? What do you think about death now?
I am not worried at all. In fact, I had a heart attack in December, and my children were there when I, and my children and husband were in the room when I had the heart attack, and it wasn't severe to the point I needed CPR or anything, but that was kind of an awakening to me. I wasn't afraid of death, but I really started getting back to my spiritual roots more. And I started listening to this podcast more, because I had intermittently been listening to it, and I hadn't read near-death experience books for, several years. And anyway, I just started reading them, and I just couldn't get enough of them. It was kind of like I wasn't worried that I was going to die soon or anything like that. It was a mild heart attack, but it just woke me up to wanting to be spiritually prepared to, when I really do pass away for good, I want to be able to see my Savior and be proud of my life, and just do more with my life and be a kinder and happier person So it was a wake-up call, that heart attack.
If people often ask me, why am I interested in this stuff? And I guess for me, I know eventually it's where we're going. If you were going to take a cruise to the Caribbean or go to Europe for a month or two, you'd kind of want to read up about where you're going and kind of have some expectations. And since we're all going there, it just seems to make sense to me to, well, let's find out what we can about this.
Yes, exactly.
Tell us about other spiritually transformative experiences you've encountered.
Okay. I've actually had quite a few beautiful experiences and a couple frightening ones as well. The first one that I ever had, I was almost 11 years old. My family and I were living in my grandparents' home at the time. And my grandfather had already passed away. He passed away while we had lived there at the home. And several years later, my grandmother had cancer and it spread through her whole body. And she was very close to dying. And there was one night, I was coming down from my bedroom that was a story above, a floor above where my grandmother's room was. And I was coming down the stairs. I needed to go talk to my mom. And she and a lot of my aunts and uncles were in my grandmother's room with her, sitting bedside with her, knowing that she, you know, was close to passing. And as I was coming down the stairs, her bedroom door was directly across from the stairs that came down that I was descending. And I was about halfway down the stairs and I stopped in my tracks on the stairs. And in front of my grandmother's bedroom door, there were two child size spirits or angels that were completely all white. I couldn't even see their faces. And it wasn't a scary thing. It's just, they were so bright that I couldn't make out any features, but they were not standing. They were hovering above the ground. And I heard music that was more singing than anything, like angelic singing. And it was, I didn't know what to think at first. I was just standing there just shocked and not knowing what to do. I knew I couldn't go in the bedroom. They were right there in front of the door and I was, you know, and my mother was in the bedroom. And so I just remember standing there for quite a while, just watching, and my heart was kind of racing and I didn't quite know what to think. But after a little while, I started to feel peace and realized that it was actually a beautiful thing and that my grandmother was very close to passing. And I realized that my family was a very spiritual family, a very religious family. And so this was not something that was foreign to me, the idea of angels or you know, the spirit world. I went back up to my room and I couldn't sleep. So I remember reading my scriptures because I just thought, wow, I just had this incredible experience. And I, you know, so I was reading my scriptures, just this child. But a while later, I went back downstairs and those angels were still there. And the music was, I could still hear the music. And that happened when I went back up to my room. And a while later, I don't remember how much longer, I went back down and they were still there. So I finally just got tired and went to sleep. And I told my mother the experience in the morning. But it was beautiful. My grandmother actually passed away 2 days after that happened, which was just a few days before I turned 11 years old, before my birthday. So
in the email you sent me, you made a comparison to the music you heard at that time to Chaz's music.
Yes. Yeah, so when I started listening to the podcast, immediately, the very first episode I listened to, the music was just beautiful to me, and I couldn't put a finger on it, but it just, I looked forward to, and sometimes I would just replay the music over and over and over, not realizing why. I just thought it's so beautiful. And then when he was telling about how he had composed that music, I really started listening to it more, and he played the entire track of music, the entire song that he had put together on that episode. I don't recall which one. Anyway, and when I listened to the whole thing, I just suddenly thought, that is very similar to the music that I had heard. Again, it was more, I recall more of the angelic voices singing, more than like instruments or anything like that. I didn't, but that it just really reminded me, his music very much reminded me of, because I'd never heard anything since that was similar to that music that I had heard.
Not surprising, Chaz is an amazing individual. And for those of you who haven't listened to his music, there's connections to it on the website, and you can always contact Chaz directly. He's amazing, everything that he does. Very talented, but back to you now.
Okay.
Other spiritually transformative experiences in your life?
Yes. Yeah, so the next one that I had, well, actually, I'll skip forward a little bit. Another experience that I had in relation to this grandmother that had passed away. When I was 16 years old, we were still living in her home. And there was one day that I was just very upset. I was really stressed out about school, and I had a bleeding ulcer because I was so stressed out. I was just, there was so much going on. And I was just in a lot of emotional turmoil. And the bedroom that I had, that was my bedroom, was actually had been my grandmother's and grandfather's bedroom before, and they had both passed away in that room. It was not a morbid thing. It was not anything creepy. It was beautiful because I was so close to them. But there was one day that I was just in my room, and I was on my bed just upset and crying, and I suddenly felt like physical arms were put around me, and nobody was in the room with me. I was all by myself, but I could physically feel just a warm, comforting hug, and I could suddenly smell my grandmother's perfume that was very distinct to her. I've never since smelled that scent of her perfume, but it was very strong. My whole room just smelled like her. And I knew without a doubt, even before I could smell her scent, I knew that it was my grandmother. And I felt her presence so, it was a huge presence there. And I immediately started to feel peaceful and much better. And within not too much longer after I felt her there, I noticed a piece of paper, a letter on the on my bedroom floor, and I picked it up. It had not been there before. I can't explain how it got there, but I opened it up, and it was the most beautiful love letter that my grandfather had written to my grandmother. Somehow it was there in my room, and it was almost like my grandmother was letting me know that yes, it was her that was there, and she was aware of me and was watching out for me. And my mother had never seen that letter before, but she read it as well, and she was very touched.
Amazing. Just it appeared.
It did. It was just, it hadn't been there before this experience, and it was right there.
So do you think that after we leave this realm and go back to the spirit realm, that we visit, look out after our loved ones? What do you think happens?
I 100% believe that. I've felt my grandmother's and grandfather's presence several times as well, other, you know, besides that experience. And I know from hearing other people's experiences and people that have actually said that they've seen their when they were on the other side and had near-death experiences, they had seen their family members cheering them on or encouraging them or just being there as almost like a companion or a, you know, guardian angel. So I truly believe that that we do. We have spirits all around us that are encouraging us and comforting us.
loved ones who've passed on, and maybe even guardian angels,
yes.
spirit guides.
Yes, I do. I completely believe in that. So,
tell us more about what you've experienced.
Okay, to back up a few years, when I was 13 years old, there was a day that I saw two children that were actually spirit children. The first one that I saw, I was going through my sister's bedroom. It was kind of a odd configuration how our bedrooms were, but I had to go from my bedroom through my sister's bedroom to go down the stairs. And as I was going towards my sister's bed to turn and go down, you know, out the door and down the stairs, I saw a little 9-month-old baby girl sitting on my sister's bed. And I thought that was kind of odd because my sister was not home. My younger sister, my older sister wasn't home. We lived in a very small neighborhood community. And so I knew everybody and I babysat lots of the children and I had never seen this baby before. And I just thought it was strange that there was a baby left alone, you know, sitting on a bed, she could fall off. I didn't quite realize at first that it was not a real human baby, but I just kind of was looking at her and she just had these beautiful blue eyes and kind of dark blonde hair, little curl on top. And she was just sitting there, a bunch of stuffed animals around her. And she was just looking at me and blinking and she'd kind of look down and play with the stuffed animals. And then she'd look up at me and, anyway, I thought, well, I'm going to go ask my mom whose baby this is. And, you know, she shouldn't be left alone. So I went down the stairs and I turned back to look one more time and she was gone. She was not there. And I was kind of shocked and I ran and found my mom and I asked her, I said, you know, are you babysitting anyone? There's a baby upstairs. But then she was gone and she wasn't there anymore. And my mother, kind of knowing that I had already had an experience seeing spirits when my grandmother passed away, she said, it sounds like you saw another spirit. And I was kind of shaken up, but not in a scary, not in a bad way, just kind of shaky. And then several hours later in that exact same day, I was in our kitchen and I turned around and there was a little boy that was about 5 years old and he was, I'd never seen him before. Again, I knew all the neighbor children and I'd never seen him before. Dark hair and big blue eyes. Anyway, and he was just standing there looking at me. He had a baseball hat on and overalls and he was just the cutest little thing. And I thought, who is this child? You know, and my sisters aren't home. I'm not babysitting anyone. And I realized suddenly after having seen the baby earlier that day, I thought, is this another spirit? And I didn't dare turn around or walk away. I just looked at him for I don't know how long. And when I finally did turn around and go again to try to find my wonderful mom, I turned back and he was gone. And again, my mother said, no, there's no children here visiting or playing or being babysat. So years later, when my daughter, to back up, when I had my near-death experience and that baby that I had given birth to, when she was 9 months old, I had just gone through a divorce. And being a new single mom, it was actually that same month, she was 9 months old when I went through the divorce. And I was very, very distraught and depressed and had a lot of anxiety surrounding the divorce. I was kind of beating myself up a lot. And why did I marry him? And why did I marry him? And there was one day that my daughter was sitting on the bed and I was folding laundry and I just looked up at her to check and make sure she was, you know, not crawling towards the edge or anything. And when I looked at her, I realized at that moment that that was the baby that I had seen when I was, I'm sorry, when I was 13 years old. She looked exactly, I mean, I could remember the features exactly, the color of hair, the color of eyes, the age, it all fit. And she was the baby that I had seen. And I felt very strongly that that it wasn't a mistake that I had married my ex-husband and that I had had that child. That was just kind of a confirmation to me that it was okay. I didn't need to beat myself up over, you know, why had I married him? Because I needed to have that child.
What a blessing.
Yes.
Now, what about the boy?
So far, I still, it's a mystery. I have 6 children and 2 stepchildren. So I have 8 children. And every time I'd have another child, I kept thinking I'd have a little boy with dark hair and blue eyes. And nope, all my kids, nope. So
I. Perhaps a grandchild.
Maybe so. I've yet to meet this little child. So that was a beautiful experience. With that same daughter, when she was just a newborn, this was just probably a month after I'd had my near-death experience. And so this is backing up a few months. There was one time I was just sitting rocking her and we were both looking at each other. I was looking at her and she was looking at me, and suddenly it was almost as if my adult spirit recognized her adult spirit. Physically, with my eyes, I did not see her spirit. But, and I've tried to explain this. It is very difficult to explain, but there was a communication between our spirits that recognized each other. And just looking at her, I mean, my physical eyes saw a baby, but there was a recognition beyond her physical self. And there was a communication that went on there, and I don't remember anymore what was communicated, but it was a beautiful experience.
Let's back up a second. Do a comparison for me of when you saw that spirit baby girl and the spirit boy compared to when you saw the little angels. Were they similar in appearance? Were they translucent? Did they look flesh and blood? Some kind of comparison.
Okay. So the little baby and the little boy that I saw when I was 13, they looked flesh and blood. They were not transparent. They didn't look like a ghost. I couldn't see through them. And that's why I had wondered, you know, is this a child that's here playing? But I had not recognized them because they looked like an actual physical human being. The two angels or spirits that I had seen the night a couple nights before my grandmother died, I don't remember necessarily being able to see through them or anything. I just remember the brightness was such a beautiful white. It didn't hurt my eyes, but it was very bright, very, very bright. And there was a glow around them. But I couldn't see their faces because they were just so white. But I could tell that one was a female with long hair and one was a boy. And they looked like children because of their size. They were child size.
Did those cherubim have wings? Were they clothed? How were they dressed?
They didn't have wings. They were both, it looked like the girl had a long, kind of like white nightgown. And the boy, I think the boy I could tell was a boy also because of, it seemed like he had pants on, but they were both white, like their clothing, everything was just white from head to toe.
I'm getting goosebumps. It's an amazing story.
They were beautiful. They were.
What else would you like to share with us?
So just probably just one other or a couple, just a couple quick experiences. I had mentioned earlier that I had some frightening experiences. And I think because for some reason, I don't know why the veil between the spirit world and this world seems to be very thin for me. And I don't know why, I'm just an ordinary person. And I'm very grateful for the experiences that I've had. But I think because the veil is so very thin, I am also aware sometimes of evil or not good spirits. And there have been at least three or four different times in my life, actually three that I can specifically remember, more so in my adult life. And I'll just give one example. The other ones are very similar to this one, but I'll just share one example. I was a young mom. I had five young children at the time, and my husband was working out of town, out of state. He was working in California, and we lived in Utah. And so I was home alone for weeks on end with my kids. And there was, over the course of a couple days while he was gone, I started noticing I kind of felt scared in my home, kind of just a feeling that just was a nagging feeling. And it wasn't really strong or anything. I just felt very uncomfortable and kind of scared. We had only been living in this home we were renting, and we had moved in about 3 or 4 months before. And over the course of a couple days, I started noticing this feeling was becoming extremely aggressive and just a bad feeling, an evil feeling. And it wasn't anything within me, like I was not depressed. I didn't have nothing like that, but it was making me feel really just awful. And I noticed that every time I would leave my, sometimes I would go outside and play, my kids would be playing in the yard. I'd be out watering my roses or anything like that. Or I'd leave and run errands. I wouldn't feel this. But when I'd come back in my home, especially there were a couple rooms that I felt very, this presence very strongly. And my kids didn't seem to notice anything strange. They just were happy little kids playing. But this just was two or three days straight where it just got worse and worse and worse. And there was one point where I physically could see a gray mist starting to, follow me. And I couldn't see any features or anything like that. And as soon as I could actually see something like that mist, I immediately knew that it was something terrible and awful. And again, I had grown up in a very spiritual home, and something just popped into my mind, and I just thought, I need to tell this evil spirit or whatever it was to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm Christian. And so I out loud said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave." And immediately the mist was gone, and I felt happy and peaceful and everything back to normal. And so that's happened a couple different times in a couple different houses that we've rented. And it's always just been in rentals that we've had. But anyway, just interesting.
Do you think it was the same presence each time or something different?
Personally, I think it was something different. There were quite a few years in between each experience, and like I said, they were in different homes, and I don't know if they were just some presence that had been there, when previous people lived there. I don't know. But I do just remember thinking that the biggest difference between the wonderful, peaceful, joyful feelings that I have felt when I have encountered good spirits and just the awful, just a feeling that I don't ever want to feel again. And that is also why I want my life to be in such a state that it's that I'm doing good things. I don't ever want to end up in a place when I die where I would be around beings, spirits like that, that just have that horrible, awful, negative energy. It's just a horrible feeling.
So it sounds like you've adjusted very well to having experienced these things. Some people haven't. They go through the rest of their lives pretty traumatized, but you do seem pretty well adjusted. How's that so? How did you deal with it?
I think it helps a lot that I have parents that believed me every time I would share these experiences that I had. My parents didn't shoot me down and say, oh, that's not possible, or don't talk about that. And my religious upbringing, I've always believed in a spirit world and in a pre-earth life before we were born. And so, I think it really has made a difference that I have had support. A supportive family that, you know, believed me.
And so how do you deal with things that are conflicting with the religion that you're taught? How do you mesh that together?
I kind of take the approach that we are, as human beings, very limited in our knowledge. We use what, like, is it 10% of our brain or something? Like, I don't remember the exact number, but it's a small percentage. And there's so much knowledge out there that we don't have access to. And I just take the approach that God knows everything and everything will work together for the better good. And somehow things will all, I think we just see puzzle pieces here and there, and we try to put the puzzle together ourselves. And like when you're actually putting a physical puzzle together, sometimes you get very frustrated and some pieces don't fit and they look like they should fit. They, you know, they match up, it seems like, but they don't. And that's kind of how I see things. There are certain puzzle pieces that to me, I'm like, this just doesn't fit with my understanding, my upbringing and my religious beliefs that I've been taught and believe in, but somehow they will fit together, and with God, all things are possible. And so I think our limited knowledge is someday we'll have those blinders taken off, the veil taken off, you know, and we will understand how things work together, and we'll be like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
So. I absolutely agree. I think that our spiritual progression is probably much like the way we progress here. I mean, you see things differently and understand them differently at age 4 and 10 and 20 than you do at age 40 and 60 and 80. So I imagine as we progress spiritually, certainly after we go back to that realm and remove this filter of a brain, I think we'll understand things a lot better, a lot differently. And we still have a lot of maturing and growing to do once we get there.
Yeah, I agree completely with that.
What do you think we do when we get there? We don't play a harp on a cloud.
Oh, I'm glad we won't, because that would get very boring.
Now, Chaz is pretty musical. He might be.
That's true. I think he'd be happy at a piano and just play for eternity. But the amount of people that actually see beyond the tunnel or the light and actually see the physical part of heaven, or, you know, well, when I say physical, I mean the spiritual heaven, the buildings and the gardens and the lakes and all the beautiful, the, you know, being able to see the universe, that is just fascinating to me. And I always put, when I have a book that has, I always put markers, you know, in that, and I just always go back. And I just, when I'm having a hard day, I like to go back and just read about how beautiful it's going to be and the activities that we'll do. And I've, you know, read and heard from some people's experiences that there's beautiful homes, and depending on, I think, our what we do in life, and it's our reward, and just so much learning to do and talents that we can develop even more, and gain new talents. And I think we're just going to have an eternity of wonderful things to progress and learn and do. And I think it'll be just an exciting place to be.
And filled with love.
Oh, yes. That above anything else.
As many of us who delve into this material are well aware, it can cause you to lose friends, family, people look at you strangely. But you're lucky you have people who not only believe you, but supportive of you, understanding.
Yeah. And, you know, I have shared with some people, a few people, friends or family members that maybe I shouldn't have shared with. So not all of my family has been supportive, but there are a couple people that are very, very skeptical and kind of look at me like I'm making this up or just wanting attention or something. So yeah, I have experienced the other side where people are kind of like, yeah, no, I don't think that's, you must have been hallucinating or something. Dreaming or something.
But. It's a very personal experience. I am so grateful that you've shared yours with ours, with our audience.
Well, I'm so happy to share. And you know, I've been so inspired by hearing other people's experiences. I mean, I've just felt so much peace and joy from listening to all the wonderful experiences that are out there. And so I'm happy to share my experience, and I hope that, you know, it can bring maybe peace to someone who has lost someone, or maybe someone that's just afraid of dying.
I know for a fact it does exactly that.
Yeah.
It's a big part of why Chaz and I do this. And we look at the numbers of how many people listen, and that's great. It's nice to know someone's listening. But when we get the letters like from yourself who say, this helped me and I really like it, that's what it's all about for us. If we touch one person that way, it's better than tens of thousands that we know listen, but we don't know how it affects them. So thank you so much for contacting me and sharing your experience. What would you say to others who maybe are on the edge about thinking about maybe sharing their experiences with us?
I would say, you know, I kind of hesitated sharing this, but when I thought about this community and the near-death experience podcast and the people that listen to this, I think it's a safe place to share, because all these people are like-minded, and something has brought us together, whether it's, you know, near-death experiences that we've had, or even people that haven't had them, but that just believe that it's a real thing. I think this is a very safe place to share, and that is what prompted me to feel like I could share these experiences, which are very personal and special to me. And so I normally would not just go out and just tell any person about it, but I just felt like it was a safe place. And I think others could feel that way too, possibly. And I think this is really the right place to share these kind of experiences.
Well, thank you for sharing yours with us, Shailene Collier.
You're welcome, and thank you so much, John. I really appreciate you and your kindness.
And if you do hear something about that little boy, you let us know.
Okay. Yep, I'm curious.
Namaste.
God bless you. Thank you.
I again want to thank Shailene for her bravery and courage to share her experience with us. It's not easy for everyone to open up about this subject. So thank you to those of you who do. It means a lot to those of us who listen with open minds and open hearts. Until next time, this is your host, John Messer, thanking you for listening and helping to spread the understanding that we are more than flesh and blood, much more, and that we are here for a reason. We are here for each other. It's all about attitude and gratitude, and our attitudes should always be love.